Good evening, it is 5 p.m. and this is JNYGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's news collective, Christina Laurie, Jesse Bell, and Ellie Sturton. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What Will I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. After months since the last update on the Lemoyne Point Farm, a court date has been set to discuss the future of the property. The waterfront property at 2000 Front Road, known to many as the Lemoyne Point Farm, has been in limbo since longtime owner Mary Fraser died in 2022. Fraser's will gives the city an option to purchase the property on a number of terms, including keeping the property zoned for rural use as far as possible. The city has had an interest in the property for several years, according to a statement sent to CFRC. The city released their very first public statement on the property in August 2024, sharing that they were negotiating with Fraser's estate trustees. With disagreements on how to interpret parts of Fraser's will, the estate trustees applied to the Ontario Superior Court of Justice for advice. After a 15-minute video conference on Tuesday, with representatives of the estate of Mary Fraser and the City of Kingston present, a full-day hearing in Toronto has been scheduled for February 17, 2026. The Save Lemoyne Point Farm Group, a group of advocates that have been discussing the future of the property since Fraser passed in 2022, also hired a lawyer and were present as observers at the hearing on Tuesday. The group hopes to maintain a presence throughout the negotiation and advocate for the property remaining undeveloped and open for community use. Member of the Save Lemoyne Point Farm Group, Jim Biaggi, spoke with CFRC and shared what the group knows about the city's plans.
I think we've known all along that the city is very interested to purchase the property. And they do have, from our interactions with various levels of the city, they do have an interest to maintain the property in some non-developed future. So whether that's parkland or farm or some sort of public use. So our understanding is that the city has the intent to retain roughly the current status of the farm with respect to its designation. If it retains a rural designation, that means it could be used for public access, for farming, for education, indigenous applications possibly, but would exclude a move for commercial or residential development. One of the issues, though, that the Save Lemoyne Point Farm Group has raised with the city and with the estate is the ability for the farm status, once purchased, to remain in perpetuity, and we don't have that assurance at this point.
When asked for comment, the city responded stating, quote, "A connected and accessible waterfront and increasing opportunities for urban farming are cornerstones of the City of Kingston's waterfront master plan and strategic priorities. The city recognizes the importance of respecting Ms. Fraser's intentions, as well as the significance of the property's natural and cultural heritage to Kingston residents, and is committed to continuing to work to advance its interpretation of Ms. Fraser's will." Biaggi shared what the Save Lemoyne Point Farm Group hopes to see from the city as they pursue the property.
So beyond avoiding development on the land, we'd like to see the Kingston community brought in to define what the future would look like for the farm. So whether that be parkland or public access or farming or indigenous applications isn't... we're not defining specifically what that should look like, but we want to make sure that the community is involved in the final decisions about the farm, and to hope that if it does become some part of the city that has public access, that it be retained in a longer term than just several years, there's been some talk about a 40-year. Lease on the property, which to us isn't a definition of perpetuity.
The city ended their statement with, quote, "The city appreciates the input of community organizations and residents, and remains open to hearing from community members who share the vision of protecting this unique part of Kingston's waterfront and history." While the hearing is still 9 months away and details of the negotiation have not been disclosed, Biagi noted the group's optimism surrounding the future of the property.
Although it's still another 9 months away, we're very happy to see that that there is movement, and these next 9 months will include some initial negotiations between the parties before the hearing. So we hope to be involved in that, and I'm optimistic of our involvement and of our relationship within this application process, at least as observers for the time being.
Queen's Law graduate and part-time Kingston local Marianne Miller's first ever novel, We Were the Bullfighters, has been nominated for a Crime Writers of Canada Award under the Best Crime First Novel Award. The historical fiction is based on the real stories of notorious bank robber Norman Red Ryan escaping the Kingston Penitentiary and Ernest Hemingway during his time at the Toronto Daily Star. In her research, Miller discovered that in 1923, on his first day as a staff reporter for the Toronto Daily Star, Hemingway covered Red Ryan's daring escape from Kingston Pen. The lives of a young Hemingway and Red Ryan become intertwined as journalist and newsmaker. Leading up to the announcement of the winners of the Crime Writers of Canada 2025 Awards of Excellence on May 30th, Miller sat down with CFRC to discuss her nominated novel.
Well, the book is the story of Ernest Hemingway's time at the Toronto Daily Star in 1923. And on his first day, he's sent to cover a prison break at Kingston Pen. And what appealed to me about the story was Ernest wasn't very happy about coming to Toronto. He'd just been in Europe for a while, and he was getting to know James Joyce and Ezra Pound and other literati, Gertrude Stein, and they were starting to recognize his talent. And then his wife got pregnant, and they decided, for some reason, I don't think medical care in France was really a problem, but they decided they wanted to have the baby in North America. So what always hit me about this story was that Hemingway was feeling very trapped. Like, before he even started work, he was writing to Ezra Pound saying, "Couldn't be worse, I start work on Monday." And so he's feeling very trapped, and on his first day, he's sent to cover the story of somebody who risked everything to be free. So that's what appealed to me about the story. And so the story covers Hemingway and the convicts on the run.
What was your reaction to learning you were nominated for an Award of Excellence?
I was shocked. I was really shocked. I didn't necessarily, although it is a novel about crime, I didn't necessarily think of it as a crime novel. Some friends of mine, you know, encouraged me to submit it, or to have Dundurn submit it. And so I was really very pleasantly surprised when it was a finalist.
Yeah. And how did it feel to be recognized in this way for your first ever novel?
Well, it's very exciting. Very, very exciting. It's a sort of another pinch me moment. It's hard to believe. It's very... I'm very honored that people liked it enough to nominate it. It's great. So I'm waiting on pins and needles for May 30th.
To cover the story, Miller dove into the archives and visited sites where it all happened, which were luckily already in her own backyard as the author split her time between Kingston and Toronto.
And I have something to show you. That's the wanted poster for the convicts from the archive for $67 that cost me. From the archives in Ottawa, which were a great, great source of information about the prison break. Lots of telegrams and diagrams and maps.
I know you really dove into the archives, but you also lived close to a lot of the sites you write about. I was wondering if you could get into that.
Well, I think I was, you know, lucky in the sense that I spent a lot of time in Kingston. So I was pretty familiar with Kingston Penitentiary. And in fact, quite a few years ago, my husband and I moored our boat at Portsmouth Harbour. So I sat next to Kingston Penitentiary for a long time. And then something similar in Toronto, the places where he stayed during this period are not too far from where I am. So I I would go by them frequently. And it just, I don't know, it just always hits me. It's like standing in front of a famous painting, I always feel, and you feel like I'm standing right where the artist was standing at some point. So I always thought it, well, it was kind of neat, like Hemingway walked down the street, or the convicts took off on King Street and got shot at the corner of Pembroke Street. And yeah.
Did you visit Kingston Pen to get a feel of the site? What was that like?
I did go to, right when the tours first opened, I like jumped up, got a ticket and went in and, you know, asked the guy, could he show me, like what they did was they set fire to the stables and could he show me where the stables weren't there anymore, but could he show me the stables? And then the thing that really surprised me about Kingston Penitentiary, because you see the, you know, big wall at the front, is that you walk in and suddenly it's all open. And there's buildings around the perimeter, but there's a big open space with grass and everything. So that helped. That description is in the book. And I don't know, when we used to moor our boat at Portsmouth Harbor, every Saturday night we could hear rock and roll music coming from the prison. So it just kind of, I don't know, humanizes people that are in prison a bit.
In addition to the story itself being rooted in Kingston, Miller's journey to getting published was also set in the city, specifically at the long-running Kingston Writers Fest, where she met her publisher in 2022 and appeared on stage as a guest in 2024.
So at the fall of 2022, I signed up for How to Get Published at Kingston Writers Fest. And because I'm really often at these workshops, they'll say, okay, we're all going to take 5 minutes and write our pitch. And I'm really bad at that. So I went with my pitch already written out and my bio and my contact information. And so that I think was the first Kingston Writers Fest after COVID. So it was very oversold. So this workshop ended up being like more of a lecture than a workshop. So after the talk was over, one person on the panel was from Ottawa, and I'm from Ottawa. So based on that great connection, I didn't know him or anything, I walked up to him and held out my piece of paper and said, should I be completely brazen? And I thought he would look at it and go, yeah, whatever, lady, thanks. And instead he looked at it and he said, oh, Hemingway. And then he said, well, what's your bio like? And then he read my bio, and I belong to the Hemingway Society. So in 2018, I'd given a talk in Paris, France, about Hemingway in Toronto. So that's sort of a nice thing to have on your resume. And so he said, your bio's pretty good. And he flipped it over and said, here's my email. I'd like to work with you on this. It was very unbelievable.
And then you were on stage talking about your book a few years later. Is that right?
Yeah, I appeared there in, 2024, in the fall of 2024, right.
How was that experience, being on stage after attending so many years and meeting your publisher there just 2 years before?
Well, it's kind of a pinch me moment, actually. Like, you're thinking, I can't believe I'm on the stage at Kingston Writers Fest. That's really cool.
Miller also graduated from Queen's Law in 1980. Queen's Law 80 will be celebrating a reunion year at Queen's 2025 Homecoming Weekend in October, where Miller has been invited to read from We Were the Bullfighters.
I had a great class. My law school class, we were great and very creative. My friends were the people who would write the law review, you know, like not the academic journal, but the haha show. And so I think actually the first time I ever wrote something, which was just a line in that show, was then, and it got a laugh. And I thought, oh, that's kind of neat. And they've actually, this is my reunion year, because I was Law 80. So they've invited me to read from my book at our, just before our reunion dinner on Saturday night. I do feel very connected to Kingston. And I was thinking about that when they asked me to read. And I just thought, you know, it's wonderful, the support coming from my class. and the support coming from Kingston for the Writers Festival, and to be in the place where the events happen. Like, I always think that that's, it's a great honor to read something and you're very near the place where it happened.
Once again, that was author Marianne Miller on her novel, We Were the Bullfighters, recently nominated in the Crime Writers of Canada 2025 Awards of Excellence. This has been Christina Laurie with CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative.
This is your Environment Canada weather report for the Kingston region. Monday, June 2nd, after a rainy weekend, Kingston is getting some beautiful sunshine, daytime high of 21 degrees, dropping down to 11 overnight. Tuesday, June 3rd, daytime high of 26 with a mix of sun and cloud, dropping down to 14 overnight. Wednesday, June 4th, the somewhat sunny conditions continue. Daytime high of 25 with a mix of sun and cloud. It is going to rain overnight and drop down to 16 degrees. Thursday, June 5th, the rain returns with a 40% chance of precipitation and a daytime high of 21, dropping down to 14 overnight, and we're going to see a 60% chance of showers. Friday, June 6th, daytime high of 22 degrees with a 30% chance of precipitation. And then moving into the weekend, Saturday, June 7th, looks like it's going to be a beautiful sunny day here in the city of Kingston, daytime high of 20 degrees, dropping down to 12 overnight. Sunday, June 8th, another sunny day, high of 21, dropping to 14 overnight. And then moving into the start of next week, Monday, June 9th, daytime high of 22. And Tuesday, June 10th, we're going to see a high of 23 degrees with a possibility of a thunderstorm in the afternoon and a 55% chance of rain. This is your City of Kingston traffic report. We begin with road closures. Albert Street, Princess to Mac is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging at 484 Albert Street. Aberdeen Street, William to Johnson is closed to accommodate construction activity and staging. Aberdeen Street, William to Earl is closed June 4th, 5th, and 11th for paving operations. Cassidy Street, Montreal to Maple is closed until June 6th as part of the ongoing intersection improvements of Montreal and John Counter. Earl Street, Collingwood to Toronto is closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. Macaulay Street, Daly to Rideau Heights Community Center West Entrance, closed June 7th from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. for Inclusive Play Project Fun Fair at the Rideau Heights Community Center. South Bartlett Street, Smith to Victoria, closed until August 29th for construction-related activities at 655 Princess Street. Sydenham Street, Princess to Queen, closed until October 3rd for the Sydenham Street Community Space. Victoria Street, Union to Johnson, closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. And Victoria Street, Princess to North Bartlett, closed until August 29th for construction-related activity at 655 Princess Street. Here are some other delays and disruptions to be aware of. Bayridge Drive, Milford to Henderson. Expect delays for the construction of new active transportation infrastructure and intersection upgrades. Collins Bay Road, Woodbine to Princess. Expect delays while a contractor completes landscaping work on Collins Bay Road. Front Road, Sand Bay to Country Club. Expect delays for the installation of sanitary and water main for Utilities Kingston. Gardner's Road at Centennial and Creekford. Expect delays while a contractor completes intersection widening, traffic signal upgrades, and cycling and pedestrian improvements. Highway 2, Abbeydon to St. Lawrence. Expect delays to complete enhanced flood protection of Abbeydon Road, Highway 2, and St. Lawrence Avenue. Highway 15, Kingston Mills to Middle. Expect delays for a contractor to complete work on the Highway 15 CNR overhead structure. Montreal Street at John Counter. Expect delays for upgrades to the intersection, including new lighting, traffic signals, lanes, paving, and signage. Page Road, Jackson Mills to the end of Jackson Mills. Expect delays while a contractor is completing work on the annual surface treatment contract. Quabbin Road, Highway 38 to Unity. Expect delays while a contractor is completing asphalt patching work in preparation for the annual surface treatment contract. Rock Road, Unity to Highway 38. Expect delays while a contractor is completing work on the annual surface treatment contract. and Victoria Street and Earl Street. Expect delays while a contractor mobilizes to site to start work on the second phase of reconstruction for sewer, water mains, sidewalks, and road.
Coming up, we'll have a look at some great community events running in Kingston and the area this week. On Monday, the Jazz Society Jam takes over the RCHA from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. It's hosted by local legends like Oscar Evans and Michael Broadhead. Doors open at 4 p.m. and cover is just $5. On Tuesday, head to Confederation Park from 7 to 9 p.m. for Drag in the Park, a free family-friendly show hosted by Tiffany Morgan and Rowena Way in support of Trellis, HIV, and community care. Then keep the party going at the 19-plus after party at Tiernan starting at 9 p.m. with $5 cover. On Wednesday, FOLDA, the Festival of Live Digital Art, presents Windrush at the Broom Factory at 8 p.m., an immersive live concept album about immigration and identity. Tickets start at $20. And at 6:30 p.m., catch Pride vs. Prejudice, the Delwyn Raid story at the Screening Room, a documentary about a landmark LGBTQ+ rights case, followed by a panel with Doug Reed and local activists. Tickets are $10. On Thursday, drop into Life Drawing at Art Noise from 6 to 8 p.m. Doors open at 5:30 and it's just $10 to sketch from a live model. At 7:30 p.m., Decrepitude Blues, a dark comedy, opens at Domino Theater with tickets for $10 to $20. You can also catch this show either Friday or Saturday this week. And FOLDA continues with Reflections and Refractions for $17 at the Isabel from 6 to 7:30 p.m. Their show 2021, which is a live experience exploring legacy, AI, and storytelling, it's Theological Hall at 8 p.m. for $20. And for a fun free night out, catch Bend It Like Beckham under the stars at Springer Market Square. The show starts at dusk. On Friday, Brockville hosts a Pride Prom for 2SLGBTQ+ youth ages 14 to 21 from 5 to 8 p.m. at the Public Library. And at the Cove Inn, enjoy Blues at the Cove with the David Rotundo Band, dinner and dancing, while supporting a local charity from 7 to 11 p.m. Tickets are $95 with reservations required. Or hop aboard Out on the Queen, a 19-plus drag and burlesque cruise, leaving at 6 p.m. Tickets are $45. The Kingston School of Dance presents Bloom Into You at the Grand Theater at 7 p.m. Tickets start at $33. You can also check out First Friday's Pride at Pedal Works starting at 6:30 p.m. for music, games, art, and more. FOLDA also features Kinematics, a free immersive sound installation at the Rideau Building from 5:30 to 7 p.m. On Saturday, Remixed by Trophy runs at the Isabel from 1 to 8 p.m. as an app-guided, garden-inspired sound and visual experience for $5. And the Mary Robin Show by Deaf Spirit Theater runs twice, once at 4 p.m. and again at 6 p.m. with the latter available via live stream. Tickets are just $14. Folks can head to Shannon Park for the Inclusive Fun Fair from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. with music, vendors, and a barbecue to support an inclusive playground. Also on Saturday, Pride After Dark brings drag, music, and a queer open stage to Bayleaf Indian Cuisine from 8 to 11:30 p.m. Tickets are $33.28. And at the Grand Theater, Bloom In My Garden showcases young dancers at noon, followed by Bloom Into You at 5 p.m., both presented by Kingston School of Dance. Tickets for each start at $33. Folks can see comedy icon Elvira Kurt bring the gayest show on earth to Base 31 Sergeant's Mess Hall at 7:30 p.m. Tickets range from $39 to $59. And at Spearhead Brewery from 7 to 10 p.m., it's Pride on the Patio with Rowena Way and friends. Tickets are $22.60. And wrapping things up on Sunday, check out Sin Papeles, a Spanish language comedy about the immigrant experience in Canada. It's at La Vida Bistro Bar from 8 to 10 p.m. with doors at 7, and tickets are just $44. Have a local event you would like covered on CFRC's website and our news programming? Contact us today via cfrc.ca. Hi folks, I'm CFRC's Ellie Sturton, and coming up, we'll take a look at some great live music happening around town this week. On Monday, Cameron Wyatt, frontman of Casador, brings indie rock to the Cove Inn patio from 5 to 8 p.m. for his Monday musical residency. Entry is by donation. Later, Sit Down Monday with Juno-winning blues artist Garrett Mason takes place at Time Out Bar and Bistro from 7 to 9 p.m. Tickets are two for $20. On Tuesday, the Women Who Rock Tour stops at the Cove Inn from 5 to 8 p.m., featuring Canadian singer-songwriter Sarah Smith and German rock band Gracefire. Tickets are $10. You can also catch Bill Does Bob, Bill Kirchen's Dylan Show, at Hotel Wolf Island from 8:30 to 10:30 p.m. The Grammy-nominated guitarist shares stories and songs, and tickets are just $40. On Wednesday, Leonid and Friends perform their renowned Chicago tribute at the Kingston Grand Theater at 7 p.m. Tickets are $79. On Thursday, the Cove Inn is presenting David Rotundo Does Dylan from 5 to 8 p.m. It's an intimate solo tribute and a $20 donation is suggested. Over at Hotel Wolf Island, Clear Breeze brings jazz and bossa nova from 6 to 9 p.m. And Musiki hosts the Euro Cafe Duo for jazzy Parisian style music under the magnolia tree from 7:30 to 10:30 p.m. by donation. And at the Toucan, Ottawa's Aurora's Reef blends reggae, ska, and swing from 9:30 p.m. into the early hours of the morning. Friday is jam-packed. See Whiskey and Words at the Buckle from 8 to 10:30 p.m., a Canadian country showcase featuring Abby Stewart, Courtney Kane, Kyle Dunn, and Broadtree, and tickets are just over $17. At the Grad Club, Pioneer Van Camp, Evan Jackson, and Bad Fortune take the stage with a night of alt-folk from 7:30 to 10:30 p.m. Tickets are around $14. Oscar Evans is leading a free Latin jazz night at Hotel Wolf Island from 7 to 9 p.m. Then at Next Church, it's the Lilac Release Party from 7 to 10 p.m. for Restless Endangerment. Tickets are $12. Also on Friday, Mellow's Choir presents Lamentations at St. George's Cathedral from 7:30 to 9:30 p.m. Those tickets are $30. Moving into Saturday, join the improv choir with Paul Barton at Kingston Community House from 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Heatwave lights up the RCHA from 8 to 11 p.m. with Motown Hits. Get tickets for $25. The Cove Inn hosts Young Petty Stones, a tribute to Neil Young, Tom Petty, and the Rolling Stones from 7 to 11 p.m. That one includes dinner and sports Better Together Circle. Tickets are $85 and reservations are required. If you're into experimental sounds, Kingston Community House hosts a noise show starting at 6 p.m. with I.O, Pet Retina, Gnostic Front, Egg Mode, and Caraba. It's $15 or pay what you can. Also Saturday, head to the central branch of the Kingston Library from 1 to 3 p.m. for Vibrant Voices, a drop-in 2SLGBTQIA+ song circle for ages 13 and up. The Mansion has a hard rock night at 8 p.m. with Saturn Sunrise, Nocturnica, Hellhound Trail, and Duct Tape, and tickets are $15. Over at Something in the Water, indie pop artist Young Friend performs from 8 to 11 p.m. with tickets for $30. And The Spire hosts Night at the Opera at 7:30 p.m. with a full orchestra. Tickets range from $12 to $35. Time Out Bar and Bistro hosts a cancer fundraiser with live pop and rock from 3 to 11 p.m. Finally, on Sunday, catch Head Over Heels at the Cove Inn from 5 to 8 p.m. playing folk, jazz, and classic rock by donation. And at Time Out Bar and Bistro, John Carr and the Country Connection play classic country from 3 to 6 p.m. Last but not least, join local jazz favorite Standards at 7 from 4 to 7 p.m. at Hotel Wolf Island's main bar. Have a local concert you would like covered on CFRC's website and our news programming? Contact us today via cfrc.ca.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What Will I Wear, 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.